Welcome to the Doghouse on ntnradio.com.
Stop the music.
Take two.
Stop the music.
Two.
Oh,
take
yeah.
two.
Take
two.
Are we recording now?
Check and mate.
Yeah, because we went like
8 minutes.
8 minutes into the show before we realized we weren't recording anything.
Warren's like, hey, are you recording? And I was like, don't.
Yeah, you know, we are not supposed to advertise our incompetence.
Well, you know, okay? here's where I feel really bad about this is some guy with very low standards in Australia mentioned us in his blog. Did you see that, Ken?
I did not.
So,
Experimental Ghost.
Oh, yes, I've seen stuff from him before.
Yes,
right?
He mentioned us in his blog about like 5 podcasts like that are on his list, and he like it was kind of like his must listen to list,
mm-hmm. right? So he had guilty this, pleasure, you mean?
Yeah,
guilty
right.
Pleasure.
Well, like can't believe I'm admitting this in public. So he had one, and it was you know, these guys are very informative. They do product reviews, right? And then he got to us, and he's like, the Doghouse. He's like, I think I'll let them describe themselves. And he put up like our thing about our completely irrelevant show.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, and that's pretty much true. You know, and
he
said a couple kind things about us. He goes, and the show really gets, I don't know what he said, fired up or something. When Phil gets all fired up and starts yelling.
Yeah, you had to turn your voice
down. Turn the volume down. I never yell!
Rarely.
But, you know, so thanks for the kind words. We'll give him a shout-out just because that was kind of cool. If you have a blog and you write about us and you want to get a shout-out, that probably will never work again.
Yeah.
But you can send us a link to it.
That's not a bad idea. You know, if you have a podcast and you would like your listeners to be really offended, send them this way.
So. Absolutely. Well, you know, he has a blog, so apparently he doesn't care about his readers.
If people that read are smarter.
He probably lost 10
smarter
or 12
than
subscribers.
People that listen to the Doghouse, right?
He probably lost 10 or 12 subscribers when you know by recommending us.
Right. Yeah, like I'm sure there are people going, "Why is he listening?" or they're going, "Why am I listening?"
Yes,
right. Like right now, there's a bunch of people in Australia going, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, just because our show comes with cerebral bleach.
But he said professionally produced, and here I donkey punched the whole next show.
That's right.
It's like, oh.
Well, you know, there are plenty of incompetent professionals in the world.
Yeah, so. And I'm two of them.
You're two
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, like over the last few weeks, we've actually got a couple shout-outs, not only Experimental Ghost, but the guy who runs Creative Writing podcast. He talked to us.
Yes, that's true.
That's true.
But you can thank me for that. That's because he totally disagreed with me about lane splitting.
I did see that. Hey, Ken got like epic Facebook hate
I did. And I'm
called you out personally.
I'm quite, and he did call me out personally.
Yeah.
And I couldn't just leave it alone.
No, right? You're Ken Gabbo.
That's me.
Can't.
I don't do that.
Ken's,
no. Okay.
Ken's big in Germany, so.
Yeah, be careful. Ken's internationally known.
You should hear what they say about me in Germany.
Yeah,
I can't tell what it is, but they say a lot.
Hey, you know, never mind. In some ways, I know
the only
I have
word
that
I ever pick out that makes
Spaten.
Any. No, Dummkopf.
Dummkopf. Spaten and Dinkelacker. Other than that,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, right.
My German's bad.
Yeah.
We should probably go into our whole conversation. Anybody do anything fun this week?
Well, sure. Why don't we take turns telling the other person's story since we've already heard it?
All right. So Warren went riding.
Warren went riding, rode out of his living room on his bike.
Yes, that's what he said.
Leaving a trail of oil all the way outside the house.
And he contaminated the ground in Shanghai, Sri Lanka, and Malaysia.
Yeah, and he went to, right, nice. Yeah, and he went to Damascus. Damascus, and hold on, you had your turn.
and
missed your chance. He went to Damascus, and he went to a place in Portugal, Lisbon. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah. So he did that. Because that's, you know, that's what we have here in Virginia. We aren't imaginative enough to come up with our own town names and stuff like that. We steal them from other countries.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we do, and it makes it much easier.
It does.
And
it's culture.
And then
Phil went to VIR.
Phil went to VIR.
Virginia International Raceway.
Right.
For the IMSA race.
Where he peed on an oak tree.
Right.
No, there was no oak tree. I had to pee on a maple.
You killed it.
Tree.
You killed it by peeing on it.
And he was down there for the IMSA races. And while he was down there, he ran into a good friend of ours who used to do work on another show that was on the network. By the name of Graham
Savage,
okay, because Phil's a name dropper, and who had was down there to actually work the pits on the IMSA race the day after the IMSA race.
Yeah, and he also ran into
no,
a guy.
No, it was
for the Continental Tire.
It was for the Continental Tires,
and he also ran into a guy from Dominion Raceway.
Yeah,
right, I don't remember the name.
Ed Purdue.
So they're apparently reworking the track to make it a little bit more friendly for motorcycle riders.
Yeah. So
they're doing that down there. So
that's good that there'll be another road race course here in Virginia.
Well,
that
we need it.
We need it.
We need it because it's a track to VIR. It's a track to VIR,
but we also just need it so that you have different tracks, right? More tracks you get to run, the more excited people get.
Well, and it would be the first track that in around here anywhere that's got easy access to major roads, because the road access to both Summit Point, which is West Virginia, and VIR is horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Yeah. There's no major road access to either one of them. You know? I mean, VIR, you got 81, but you're still 25 miles off of 81.
Well, I always take 29. I take that.
Well,
either way,
you're still a long way from VIR when you get down there.
Well, you're about the same from at Summit Point off of 81, too.
Probably.
You're probably closer.
This other track we were talking about is actually right off of Route 95.
You can see it from 95.
Right. You can see it from 95, which is also known as the worst possible road to Virginia to ride on.
Right. VIR, although if you left Washington, D.C., and you had two bikers leaving D.C., here's a math question for you. Mm-hmm. Two bikers leave D.C. going to the racetrack. One's going to Dominions. One's going to VIR. Who gets there first?
It's a tie.
Even though VIR is 200 miles away or whatever,
right?
It's still, you know, it's 4 hours to go 40 miles south on 95.
I was going to say, it all depends on what time. Depends on what time, because you can actually get to VIR pretty fast in the middle of the night. If you put the hammer down the left lane, you can probably do about 110.
Yeah.
Right?
And if you, except in Madison, don't speed through Madison. But if you're going to Thornburg, Virginia on 95 south of D.C., that's a good 3-4 hour ride.
It's
only 40
traffic.
Miles.
It's traffic. And it's all traffic.
And then Ken went to a wedding this weekend.
Ken got married again.
I went to a wedding.
He may or may not have drank too many IPAs.
I have to wait for this one to expire first. But my niece got married in Richmond this weekend. Stayed at a very nice hotel. I'm not going to give it out because they don't advertise in the doghouse.
Damn right.
But stayed in a very nice hotel. Cost me more money than I can really afford to spend. But it was a very, very nice wedding. It was about 20 miles, roughly, I'd say, outside of Richmond in Kent, Virginia.
I know where Kent, Virginia is.
Very, very nice vineyard. It was just hot. I mean, fortunately, the wedding wasn't on Friday. Friday, I think it was like somewhere around 120 degrees. In the city of Richmond, it was outrageously hot. You know, this you don't get any.
There's no airflow, and it's built on a swamp, so it's always humid.
Yeah, and then but on Saturday at the vineyard, at least, even though it was very hot in the shade, there was a nice breeze. It was nice. Ken had a little bit too much to drink, but I had a nice time. It was a very nice wedding. The vineyard did a wonderful job, and it was really, really nice. And just got home, literally 5 minutes ago. No, I mean, I just got home the other day, and I had a nice time. So that was. That was really nice. It was a nice event.
Did you have a hangover?
You know something? I didn't, and I think the reason I didn't is because I was drinking. Because, I mean, there are certain things that will give me a raging hangover without me even being nearly as wiped out as I was, right? Nearly as drunk as I was. But for some reason, that IPA did not give me any hangover whatsoever.
Ken gets drunk for the first time in, what, 3 decades? Yeah. And we're not there.
Probably.
I feel like we dropped the ball.
Yeah, we should have.
If I had known that, I would have crashed that wedding.
I would actually say that. I mean, it's not the first time I got drunk in that long, but it's the first time I got drunk that seriously.
But that's what I'm saying.
I mean, I was on the edge.
I think the doghouse needs.
I thought I was going to do the Roman candle trick. You know,
we need somebody to like come in here with a credit card and be like, I'm taking you guys out. Get us a limo, and get us all fired up. See how that turns out.
Yeah. And when it goes, hey y'all, hold my beer. That's when we know it's all over.
Yeah. So all the beers they had there were local beers from the state of Virginia. And I was drinking a beer that was, I don't know, 5/10 alcohol. I don't remember. 7.6%.
Ken was like, it was 26% alcohol.
I got pretty messed up. But it was a good time. And my sister, of course, has always did a fabulous job with the wedding. She does these big shindigs really well.
Ken was wearing the tactile neck like Archer, and he was walking around going,
all right.
So we now know we got to stop Ken before he gets to his third beer.
No.
Yeah, I probably could. You know, if I had been smart, I would have stopped at 4. At 4, I would have been okay. I would have been feeling good, but I wouldn't have, you know, I would have been. There's a lot of things I should have stopped earlier in my life.
Most of your magic number. Marriages, beer.
Right, yeah. Yes. There's more things I shouldn't have done in my life than I've done. But anyway, hopefully that's being recorded right now, the music.
It may be.
Is that music being recorded?
It should be.
When we get back, Warren, what are we going to talk about?
Well, first we're going to talk about a...
Not a recall.
I do have a kind of recall story, but it's not a recall. It's not a recall.
But it's a recall story.
Kind of.
It's a story about recalling.
Wait a minute. One of your stories got recalled.
I will.
Yeah.
But first up is going to be about a guy who got arrested by the Port Authority cops in New Jersey.
Ooh.
Mm. Okay, cool. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
I'm still digging that music. I do like what you've done
you
with this.
You would like that song.
Yes.
The name of it's Dirtbag. I'm not even kidding. That's the best part.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty good. Hey, Phil, what time is it? It's time for all the news that matters to me.
I thought it was hello, everybody time. I was like, it's time for hello, everybody. It's Mr. Ed.
I was just wondering.
That was part. Remember that used to be part of the show opening. Hey, guys, what time is it?
That's right. Exactly. It was Howdy Doody time. Dun, dun,
dun, and then
that
it went into Ozzymodo's Saturday Night.
Yep. Exactly right.
Yeah, a long time ago.
We may have to pull that out one of these.
We
days.
Should pull that out one of these
for the
days.
Show 400.
Yeah, that's
for
actually
fire,
coming
fire
up.
Fire it up. Bring back the old.
It's coming up. We do need to come up with a plan for show 400.
Well, while we're waiting on show 400, I do have a couple stories.
Go ahead, lay them on us.
The first one is Dateline, the Holland Tunnel, New Jersey. You know where that is?
Yes. The Holland Tunnel runs from New Jersey to New York.
Right.
Well, a 51-year-old Henry Pogue from Roselle, New Jersey, was arrested after hiding his license plates with an electronic cover to avoid the Easy Pass toll charge going into the tunnel.
Okay.
Wait a minute. What do you mean? It just darkens it?
No.
When you say electronic, I'm not sure what you mean.
He put his laptop behind him.
Yeah, right.
Toaster oven?
At about 4:15 July 10th, the Port Authority police near the Holland Tunnel saw the suspect riding a 2010 Victory motorcycle through an Easy Pass only lane. As the suspect motorcycle passed through, the Port Authority saw that the license plates of the vehicle retracted underneath the motorcycle.
Oh, very cool.
So it could not be read by the cameras.
Very cool. I like that.
That's one way of doing it.
I like that. For ingenuity alone, he should get away with it.
I've seen that, but I've never seen it for a bike license.
Right.
I saw it for a car.
And you can see this on our post for this week when it's up. You'll be able to see the video of it. The police officer flipped.
I'll give you a hint, Warren. You don't need to say when it's up or no one would hear it in the first place.
Oh, that's true. We see it on the post. You can see the police officer walk up, flip the switch, and watch the license plate retract underneath the fender of the Victory.
Was the cop behind him?
Well, the impression I get is they were off to the side and we just saw him go through and said, well, where's his license plate? Then all of a sudden it started coming back down.
That's
the impression I got.
If you're going to put it up, you always keep it up until you make enough turn to pop it down. Be like, what are you talking about?
So what's the fine for avoiding the Easy Pass toll?
I don't know about in New York, but here in Virginia, it's like $100.
Oh, it's like $156.
I was going to say, it's probably a lot higher up there because, you know, the People's Republic
of New York. You pay a bunch.
How much is the toll on the Holland Tunnel? Like $8
for a motorcycle, it's like, probably around $6.
For a motorcycle, about $6.
Okay. Well, with Easy Pass, it's probably $5. Yeah, okay. It all depends. I don't know. I never had an Easy Pass for my motorcycle.
Right, right. But I thought they only give the Easy Pass discount if you're a resident of the state, where the toll booth is.
Yeah, well, he was New York, New Jersey, so...
So they would count, right?
Yeah, the crossing between the states, right, you get the thing.
Okay.
Well, the Port Authority police approached the suspect and saw that he activated a toggle switch, in which caused the license plate frame to drop down or go up, depending on which way the switch was flipped. Mm-hmm.
I like this guy already. He may be my hero.
Well, maybe not so much in a few moments. He admitted he did not pay the toll and had no easy pass, although he did use the easy pass lane. So he admitted guilt right there. And what did you do, Phil?
Never confess.
Right, never confess.
Never confess.
Well, the police, for some reason, decided he needed to search his motorcycle on top of this.
Oh!
And in a pouch on the motorcycle was a metal smoking pipe with suspected marijuana residue. A small container of suspected marijuana. And he was charged with theft of service, possession of drug paraphernalia.
Wait a minute. That's legal.
Not in New York.
Not in the tunnel.
Oh.
Not New York.
Not New York?
No.
Well, he didn't even make it to New York. He got caught by the Jersey cops.
No, they're the same cops.
No, I thought they were...
The Port Authority worked both sides of the border.
Okay, I didn't realize that. So he got charged with theft of service, possession of drug paraphernalia, unclear plates, possession of a controlled dangerous substance in a motor vehicle.
Dangerous substance. Tell the people in Denver that.
So he's facing up to a $10,000 fine and up to 2 years in jail. Now, they'll probably plead all that out. He'll get off with time served. But
he hadn't served any time, right? He'd been charged. I imagine he wasn't jailed, right, for that.
Who knows?
I can't imagine he was jailed for that. Unless it was a large amount of pot, they won't jail you for it.
Well, it did say a small container.
When they say small.
Bread box or saddlebag.
I'm sure he wasn't jailed.
But anyway, I will give him credit for ingenuity. He put a little switch underneath the tank that would flip the plates up and down.
Yeah, I wonder what that cost for the actuator that lifts the plate out of the way, if it would have been cheaper just to buy the damn Easy Pass.
No, it's not. Right? Because if you're using it as a commute, that's like $6 every day, right?
Yeah.
So even if it costs you $100,
but
30 days, it's paid for.
No, it doesn't work that way, Phil, because you save a lot of money on right up to the point that the pot charge comes in, where they're going to fine you big for that, right?
Well, all right, that's the bigger issue is A, never if you're going to break one law,
if you're
going
to go to the trouble of making...
And never admit it. Yeah, that wasn't mine.
If you're going to the trouble to make a device that will lift your license plate up, make sure that it leaves enough of a room for a stash in there, right? Right? Exactly.
So, yeah, you can see this video of the plates going up and down on our post this week, or I'll also put it up on Facebook.
Wait a minute. They have a video of it going up and down, so the cops are demonstrating it?
Yes, the cops are demonstrating.
Thank you. I'll take two.
I'm also going to put it up on the Doghouse Two Wheel Radio, our Facebook site, so that you can be able to see it there as well. But it's pretty short. And it didn't go up very fast, though. I will admit, I think if it had been...
Well, you kind of know you're coming up on the Holland Tunnel, so...
Yeah, but you think I'd want to be able to get it up and get it down pretty quick to avoid people seeing it.
It would have been better, it'd been smarter, if what it did is it flipped around and had somebody else's plate. Right? When you went to
James Bondish.
Exactly. The cops would never know anything, right? You'd go riding with the license plate on there and get a picture.
And somebody else would get the bill.
Probably
Phil.
All you got to do is... That's right.
I'm like Googling to see where I buy one of these things.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'd almost be willing to pay the guy's bail, and I said almost, just so I could see where to buy one. Right? Be like, hey, or did he make it himself?
He made it himself. But it was pretty cool, and I enjoyed it. Now, I'm going to move on to the next story. Now, this was probably going to go across the break because I got actually...
There's a place that sells them. I'll take two.
This is a Harley-Davidson, the good, the bad, and the ugly story.
I'm listening.
Harley-Davidson, the good, the bad, and the ugly
Blondie.
Story.
Right. Blondie!
Sorry. No, you're right. That is okay, the good, the bad, the ugly.
I know.
Yeah. So you guys have always gave Harley Davidson a hard time on for a variety of reasons, and one of them
all well deserved.
Some maybe not. But you also complain that they can never keep secrets. Well, they've been doing a pretty good job of that lately. They came out with a whole brand new engine for their motorcycles this year, and no one even knew about it until a few weeks before they released it. To the world.
That's all because Willie Davis is no longer there. That's why. That's why they can keep secrets now. He was the guy in charge of their design. He couldn't keep a secret.
So you're saying he was a blabbermouth.
He kind of was.
You know.
Well, they've already been designing this engine for several years.
All you got to do is hire a hooker and Willie would spill the beans.
Oh, don't say that. Now there goes our last Harley Davidson chance of ever having any sponsorship.
Oh, yeah. That was going to happen any day.
Yeah, maybe it was. Yeah. If not now.
You know what? Anyway. They are actually on hold. I was going to talk to them during the next break.
Yes. See, damn you, Kent.
That's right. Well, I was counting on Harley Davidson. I figured sooner or later some money would leak out. So
you put a stop to that.
Yep.
Well, following the long line of V-twins like the Knucklehead, the Panhead, the Evo, the Big Twin, which is what I have.
The Twin Cam.
Yeah, and a variety of others. Mm-hmm. You know, we now have the Milwaukee 8.
The Milwaukee 8. I think that was actually a group that murdered a bunch of people in the 60s.
I would think
no,
they
that was the Chicago 7.
Chicago 7. Yeah. I would hope they would have researched that.
Yeah, really.
You would think, but they don't.
So this is the first new engine from Harley-Davidson in 15 years. Now, they're called...
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it's been
The Milwaukee 8, and then in parentheses it says the Valdez.
So why is it called the Milwaukee? Because it's got 8 valves.
Damn, you're psychic.
Well, there's no way it had 8 cylinders. Okay. So they have two intake and two exhaust ports
for each cylinder. Yep,
and that's why they call it the Milwaukee 8.
Right, that's how you got that.
That's good.
Yeah, the engine comes in two sizes and three different variations: the Milwaukee 8 107,
leaking more, dumping oil,
which is a 1750 cc engine.
Phil's not paying any attention to the show. No.
The Milwaukee 8 114, which is 1870 cc's.
That's a 118.
The Milwaukee 8 114.
That's a 114, okay. Yeah.
And those are two are replacing the 103, which is what I have on my bike, mm-hmm. and the 110. Mm-hmm. And the third variation is going to be a racing engine that's going to replace with the current Screaming Eagle 120 racing engine.
Okay.
And so...
Why are they building a racing engine?
I couldn't tell you.
Maybe drag racing?
Drag racing,
at least.
Yeah.
They also changed the sound. You know how Harley always had that big brup, brup, brup,
the potato, potato, potato,
potato, potato, potato, potato.
Now it's
going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Shamil, Shamazel, Haas Pepper Incorporated.
Or maybe now it's going to be.
Right, wasn't that in
maybe
Milwaukee?
Now it's going to be
6, 7, 8. Who do we appreciate?
Because there's 8 valves per cylinder. It's going to be like potato. Potato.
They do say it has a slightly different sound.
I'm sure it does.
Which is...
Well, that's going to screw them up completely because they have their sound patented.
No, yeah. Actually, they didn't get it patented. They weren't allowed. They tried, but it didn't happen.
Right.
The new engines will be used in Harley-Davidson's Touring and Trike models. The smaller 107 engine is going to be utilized in the Street Glide, the Road Glide, the Electric Glide, the Road King, the Freewheeler. The larger 114 is going to power the Ultra Limited, the Road Glide, and the Tri-Glide.
So, does that mean that the old twin cams will still exist for the other models, like the Fat Boy and things like that?
I think for just a little while. They probably couldn't produce enough of them. And this is my own personal take. Mm-hmm. Because they kept this thing under wraps for so long, they didn't have enough to go across the entire product line. Mm-hmm. So, I imagine by next year, it'll all be the new Milwaukee 8 for all the bikes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my best guess on that.
Right. And I don't know. The design of the motor might create other issues on some of those other models as well.
It could, so, yeah. It might have to adjust the frames a little bit or something. Who knows?
Right.
The new engine retains...
Does it still cause the whole bike to shake uncontrollably when you stop?
Well, the one I have currently doesn't do that, so I'd say probably
not. So it's
not
running?
Well, let me ask you a question, Dick. Warren. let me ask you a question. Now, are these all water-cooled?
No, not all of them.
Okay, so there's some water-cooled, some non-water-cooled.
Right.
Okay.
The new engine's retaining, of course, the 45-degree engine, 45-degree V-twin design.
Yeah, that'll never change.
Right.
No, it shouldn't because it works out pretty well. It has a higher compression ratio, larger displacement, and a larger set of valves. Harley claims that each engine produces 10% more torque than the motor that it replaced. And despite the power increase, the new engine weighs the same as the old units, giving the motorcycle better acceleration and improved fuel economy. The engines are mostly air-cooled, which you were asking about a moment ago, mm-hmm. but have liquid-cooled heads, something the company introduced on its touring bikes in 2014. The twin-cooled 107s are going to be in about 4 different models, and from what I can tell, it's all the bikes that have the lower fairings so that they hide the radiator in them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the 114s are going to be, in addition to the ones they mentioned a few moments ago, also going to be on the CVOs, CVO Street Glide and CVO Limited models. So that was the good news from Harley.
Right. They don't use the term Screaming Eagle anymore?
I imagine they will for the probably the 114. I'll probably still call it the Screaming Eagle because it's replacing the 110 Screaming Eagle. But the particular article that I read and none of the others that I looked at actually used the moniker Screaming Eagle for that.
Okay. Sure. I mean, it's good that they finally have changed. I mean, you know, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Mm-hmm. So, what's the bad news?
The bad news, and...
they're going out of business. They're laying off... Wait. They're laying off 1,400 people.
The bad news, the motor's being built by Eric Buell Racing.
Oh. Who may or may not be in business today. I haven't checked in a while.
Right.
But the bad news is, I've read this article in multiple places, but I went with one of our friends of the industry, motorbike writer Mark Hinchcliffe. I'm sure you guys have seen by now that the EPA filed suit against Harley-Davidson for the tuners.
Yes.
They had, the race tuners. Harley-Davidson was fined $15 million last week by the EPA for selling aftermarket tuners that affect emission levels and cause additional pollution. Harley-Davidson didn't choose to fight this because of the cost. I guess they came up and did the math that paying off $15 million fine was cheaper than trying to fight the EPA and the Justice Department.
They could have just taken the Volkswagen approach.
Yeah, oops.
And make the computer give fake numbers, right?
They could have just said, oops, right? Oops.
Yeah.
It seems the Justice Department EPA had simply targeted Harley first, because this is why it's going to be the bad news here in a few moments, because it represents half of the U.S. heavyweight motorcycle market, and they wanted to make a prominent example for the industry. In fact, Assistant Attorney General John...
Because there's nothing like crapping on countries in your, manufacturers in your own country, right. Let BMW slide, but go ahead and go after Harley-Davidson.
Yeah. In fact, the Assistant Attorney General, head of the Justice Department's Environmental and Natural Resources Division, stated, given Harley-Davidson's preeminence...
they changed their names. They're no longer called Browncoats?
Okay. Gestapo.
Given Harley-Davidson's preeminence in the industry, this is a very significant step towards our goal of stopping the sale of illegal aftermarket defeat devices that cause harmful pollution on our roads and in our communities.
Idiots.
Anyone else who manufactures, sells, or installs these types of illegal products should take heed of Harley-Davidson's corrective actions and immediately stop violating the law.
So, in other words, Harley just screwed over a bunch of businesses.
No, Harley
right.
did. I mean,
yes, by not fighting it, right? But Harley's big enough to fight. Have you ever been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
Have you ever read it? When you walk in, I believe it's to the right, there's a plaque and it says, when they went after the gypsies, I said nothing. When they went after,
right.
And there was nobody to help me when it came after me. Right?
Well, do you think how many of these other industry people making tuners and exhaust are going to step up with Harley to do that? Because as big as Harley is, their pockets are not deep enough to fight something like this.
They might be able to.
You know what?
Actually, Harley should have just taken the lead on it, and I think a lot of the other people would not have been able to. They could have contributed to that. And I think if a consortium of motorcycle aftermarket parts manufacturers and Harley-Davidson did it, it would be pretty considerable.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. By Harley punting, it stopped a bunch of these small guys from being able to have a dog in the fight.
Yeah, I mean, Harley could say, yeah, we can pay the fine. We don't, you know, we can afford the fine. It's cheaper than legal fees. That's fine. But then the small guys can't, and they go under.
Yeah. Which
is the intent of this effort.
Right, right. But Harley-Davidson sort of enabled it by not fighting it.
Unless
right?
it was Harley-Davidson's plan. $15 million to get rid of your aftermarket competition. It's not a bad deal.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of stuff, aftermarket stuff, that wouldn't be affected by EPA laws.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's a start.
I mean, you know, the people out there, all they do is make chrome, so.
Yeah.
Well, Harley's
there's a lot
of chrome, I think.
They can't run. That's right.
But as we know, chrome can get you home now. I've proven
right.
that.
Yep.
So continuing with the story, while U.S. fines are not relevant outside the United States, it is part of a worldwide crackdown on motorcycle emissions, which is also going to affect your noise levels. So
yeah, motorcycle emissions are a really bad thing. I mean, there's so many motorcycles in the world that we're totally destroying the atmosphere. I mean, it's so ridiculous. I remember reading a study a few years ago about the percentage of air pollution that could be attributed to small engines and motorcycles, and it's like one 100th of a percent. It was
I remember we talked about
that.
That was a
long
time
ago. It's so ridiculous
ago.
That even, you know, I don't care if you had no pollution control regulations on motorcycles at all, it still would not affect the quality of the air.
Well, you know, you're correct because of the numbers, mm-hmm. but you're not correct because of the engines themselves. The Mythbusters actually did a show where they were, you know, comparing motorcycle engine emissions versus
I'm not saying they're cleaner.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not saying there's so few of them.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's a matter of volume.
We're worried about this problem. Where I read a study recently where, like, every day you swallow a cubic gallon worth of anal gases you inhale, right? So I don't care about the carbon dioxide.
Well, Phil, I think you should speak for yourself.
Oh, that's just, I mean, me, I probably up the average.
We're going we're going a little bit long on this segment, so I'm going to pick up the rest of this when we get back.
But it's just the EPA trying to get rid of bikes.
Well, right. And that's part of what I'm getting back to.
Well, they're trying to get rid of all internal combustion engines, not just motorcycles. So it's a total war against, you know, fossil fuels, right?
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's why Ken is looking at one of those new electric. How are they going to charge the electric bikes without the diesel plant?
to
create power. That's why
they're going to convert water into electricity. They can do that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, you're right. Eba. Grandpa,
stick with us. We'll finish this story after the break. Hey, folks, a moment ago we were talking about EPA, and I cut off Phil from saying,
what did I say?
Something about Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson was right.
Yes, he was.
EPA. Oh, no, Grandpa, it was Homer. Grandpa Simpson was right.
EPA's coming to kill us all. And this just kind of goes into what I talked about a few weeks ago when we talked about Vision Zero and how they want to get, you know, motorcycles off the roads to prevent accidents and deaths and all that stuff. And, you know, this time last year we talked about the Paris wanting to ban motorcycles from being downtown, and they actually have anything built before 1999.
Do they realize that car accidents and motorcycle accidents keep us from having to eat each other?
Right. We need to thin the herd.
Soylent Green is people.
That's right. Oh, Soylent Green. That's what happens when you overpopulate the world. You run out of food, and you have to start recycling people into food. Keep the damn motorcycles and cars out there because it helps control population.
Yes.
You know. Some, I like Chinese food, but there, you know how many there are of them? I'll get tired of eating them all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought you were going to go worse. I was going to say, see what that's done to the cat population?
Yeah, I was going to say, right? I think the Chinese account for 2 out of 3 people in the world. I like Chinese food, but I can't
but
eat it.
But I don't want to be hungry an hour later.
I can't eat it. And I can't eat it 4 days a week.
That's why cannibals don't eat Chinese people.
There went our last cannibal listeners and our last Chinese listeners. Well, you know, you tie that to Division Zero, you tie it down to what they're doing in Europe with the banning the motorcycles from downtowns, mm-hmm. and California enacting their...
That's why they have terrorism in Paris, because they made motorcycles illegal downtown.
California has their Motorcycle Anti-Tampering Act, which, you know, prevents anybody from having an aftermarket exhaust unless it has the EPA stamp of approval.
Yeah, but that's going on in California. Yeah. That's going on all over the country here.
Unfortunately, what happens is California has a tendency to make it to the rest of the U.S.,
No. Thank you, social media.
I don't know. News, I mean, California internet. Has way stricter emission standards than any other state. So they've been doing that for 40 years, and it's never
And it hasn't helped them. Here's the thing: there's still smog over Los Angeles,
and it
doesn't
has expanded
work.
To the rest of the U.S.
Yeah, but they can
US.
Split lanes now, so they don't have to spend their time sitting in the fumes.
That's the only good thing about splitting lanes is you'll probably get less cancer.
I sense more hate mail coming.
Yes.
There's more hate mail coming.
And European emission standards are coming out this year. It's going to affect all new bikes. And that's why you're starting to see, you know, pretty much all the air-cooled stuff is going to be the dinosaurs in a few years because all these new standards are going to require us to go more water-cooled just to be able to do EPA rules.
Listen, I am actually a supporter of water-cooled over air-cooled. Right, and I think anybody who's ever been at Daytona Bike Week, Sturgis Bike Week, Laconia Bike Week, any place where you're sitting there, and your bike overheats because it's old and it's air cooled and you're not moving.
Phil, I would agree with you for large displacement motors. For small displacement motors, I would totally disagree.
Okay, I can agree with that. Or people that go to those kind of events are probably like air cools the bomb because my stuff runs. I don't have to push it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I just think this is just a small piece of a socialist conspiracy. You know, their intent, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
If you turn this into a Gary Johnson commercial, I'm going to
I don't know who Gary Johnson is, but okay. I'm just saying
he's a libertarian candidate.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And if Gary Johnson was elected, the guy with the flipped up license plate that had the pot would have been okay.
He'd have been mayor of New York.
That's right.
Yeah, but with the EPA going after Harley to set the example for everybody else, it just means they're going to go after all these other companies. And, you know, they went after Harley-Davidson even though the tuners are labeled off-road or racing use only. And I know that for a fact because I have one of them. So I'm expecting a letter from Harley-Davidson sometime in the near future because one of the things that they had to do is buy back all the illegal tuners. So,
so let me ask you a question, Warren. Do you live in a... Is your county, and we won't say your county name, is your county an emissions county?
Sure. Yes. We won't say the county. The county that Warren lives in, pretty broad area, but we'll give someone's name out on the show.
That's Graham Savage. That's okay.
I'll say it. He lives in Loudoun County, Virginia.
Are they admissions?
If they can find him based on the county.
Almost all the counties in Northern Virginia and the collar counties on top of that are emissions control. And that's what I was going to tell Ken a few moments ago. He's crazy if he didn't think that California's emission standards aren't affecting the rest of the country. The same ones they set there are now being used just about everywhere.
No, they're not. In fact, the manufacturers still have to build cars specifically for California.
California and New York models. It's been since like 98. Yes, both.
Exactly.
Yes, I know.
All right. And then I promised you a good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the ugly story. Now, picture if you can. This is going to be difficult for some of you. Picture if you can. Phil Worthington in a Speedo riding a Sportster.
So you got pictures of that from last weekend, huh? Damn it, I knew somebody was going to rat me out.
Oh, yeah, so that was the ugly thing I had to throw out there. So if you guys
ever... You could have just stopped at Phil in a Speedo. Would have been good enough.
Well, yeah, I had to relate it back to Harley somehow.
who would even have time to notice what kind of bike I was riding?
Phil,
they'd be like basking in
Phil,
the ambience.
I got to ask you a question. Phil... I know Phil grew up in close to the water. And Phil, have you ever owned a Speedo?
No.
Thank you. I can honestly say I've never owned a Speedo.
I just can't believe that.
Matter of fact, most of the times when I go to the beach, I wear a shirt.
He is from New York, and he talks with that New York accent, and he sounds like a wise guy. You see in the movies, they're always wearing Speedos.
No hair on the chest, right?
Number one, that's a misnomer. There is actually not one New York accent. You can't say a New York accent because the New York accent...
Yeah, you got a point.
It's very unique. To your neighborhood. It's very unique to your neighborhood. A Brooklyn accent is very different than a Long Island accent.
Yes.
So I'm...
And East End is different than West End. And,
right. There's a lot of
I'm going to have to give him a credit. You know, he also is not wearing a big gold necklace and...
No pinky rings. I don't have the hair sticking out of the top of my shirt.
But he does have rings on his toes.
And I got a gomada, but hey, no.
That spiraled out of control, but yeah, that's fun.
That's sort of what happens on this show.
Now, I did talk about doing a kind of a recall story, and this one's
these are Ken's favorite.
Wait! Why did we talk about Phil and Espeeto? Was there a story behind that?
No,
no, he just wanted ugly.
Oh, jeez!
He just threw epic hate at me for ugly.
Wow!
Yeah,
we did a good, which was the Harley Milwaukee 8. We did the bad, which is the EPA, you know, and their jackbooted thugs that are riding down in the neck of Harley Davidson and the rest of the American motorcycle.
Look, if they came down on like Victory or Yamaha, he'd have been like, who?
Never even
heard of that brand.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I've been the same story for them as I did with Harley, because it's just what they're doing is wrong.
Yes.
And then, you know, they had to do the ugly, which was Phil in a Speedo riding a Sportster.
That's just wrong.
An 883 on top of that.
He's trying to give people visual looks so they won't watch any video we put out.
Apparently.
Go ahead, Warren. What's the recall?
It's not a recall, but it is should have been a recall. Because a Texas man is suing Yamaha Motor Incorporated. Oh, excuse me, I had a frog in my throat just now. Claiming a defective motorcycle throttle caused him to be paralyzed from the waist down.
We've heard stories like this before.
Yeah, this is not new.
Well, this one particular story
I mean, the problem.
But the idea, right, of a stuck throttle causing someone to almost die.
This is not a stuck throttle problem. This is completely different. According to the press release by his lawyers, Isaac De La Rosa, 36, of Corpus Christi, Texas, was thrown off his 2014 FZ09 Yamaha motorcycle. And that's a 650 bike.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they accelerate pretty fast. This happened last year after it suddenly and without warning went into an uncontrolled and harsh acceleration as he tried to slow into a turn into a parking lot. LaRouge was thrown into a raised cement edge of the sidewalk, which broke his spine, resulting in being paralyzed from the waist down. The thing that comes up from this is that Yamaha knew the throttle on the FZ09 was defective and carried a risk of sudden unattended acceleration, but didn't warn the owners and riders.
Is this a fly-by-wire system or cable system?
It's fly-by-wire.
Okay.
Instead, it issued a silent recall, which I don't, you know, that's what the lawyer called it, but which means they sent out
like an
a tech
SPD,
warning.
Silent but deadly.
A silent recall. We recalled all these bikes. We just didn't tell anyone.
Oh, maybe Motus did a silent launch.
Maybe.
Oh, God. There goes our last advertiser for Motus. So they did this silent recall, which was instructing dealers to repair the problem only if owners complained.
You don't want to repair a problem that doesn't exist.
Well, I just like that. Only if the owners complained, knowing that if there was a sudden uncontrolled throttle opening when you're on your bike, the likelihood you'd be able to complain was pretty small.
Yeah, well, this guy's is now, you know, paralyzed from the waist down, and he's a father of two kids, and the lawyer said Yamaha must be held accountable.
Thank God he had two kids.
Yeah.
You are heartless. He is. He's like, that way you have two people to push you around.
Oh, Phil, I didn't say that.
Well, that's what you said.
I was making the point that he had kids because he might not be able to have them in the future.
I thought I was with Phil on that one.
Knowing Ken.
Phil just thinks of laborers. He got two kids, so he's got two laborers.
Yeah, you know, looking back, I should have had kids. It's like, wow, they would have done the lawn, they would have done that.
Yep. They could drive the tractor around your field.
Yeah, no. Riding time's for me.
Oh, so they could ride behind a tractor picking up rocks.
Yeah, right? That's why I need kids.
So Yamaha was aware of the throttle dangers. With the FZ09, it was their first throttle-by-wire computer-based technology to calculate the throttle response instead of being, you know, controlled by a mechanical cable, as you
alluded to. Clearly it worked.
Buyers immediately began complaining about the bike's twitchy throttle response, jerky throttle response, and surging at low speeds, according to the lawsuit. As a result of these complaints, Yamaha altered the computer software in 2015 specifically to smooth out the throttle response and provide better control of the motorcycle, according to the suit. At no time did Yamaha attempt to notify owners of the 2014 bike of the serious safety issues or the availability of the repair.
Well, they fixed it.
For the 2015 bikes.
Yeah.
They issued a September 2014 technical bulletin about the FZ09, which went out to dealers around the world, where Yamaha noted, and this is very, you got to listen to this carefully, Yamaha said that when certain model units operated between 18 and 37 miles per hour in first or second gear, the rider may experience a nonlinear transition between closed to quarter open throttle. So what does that mean?
It suddenly goes to quarter open.
Yeah.
Nonlinear. It means it jumps.
Yeah, when you go, when you have the throttle completely closed off, you could go to, you know, quarter throttle instantly.
In first or second gear.
In first or second gear.
Well, they should have sent out a bullet and say, says stay in third gear.
Well, it's, yeah. You would have thought they would have said, to me, when I read that, I'm saying, okay, Yamaha, you set yourself up for this lawsuit because you act, you acknowledge the fact that there's a problem. You acknowledge the fact that
and
the bike took off by itself.
Just goes back to the second segment.
It was, I mean,
never confessed.
And they missed an, they missed a perfect marketing opportunity. They could have sent letters out to those people that said, if you're having a problem with your throttle on your bike, buy a 2015 where it's fixed.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
This technical bulletin that was issued also advised dealers to, quote, modify only those units that experience this condition. Okay, there's a strike two.
Like I said, the ones that experience that condition may not be capable of bringing their bike in to be repaired.
It's, yeah, it might be too late.
Maybe
too late.
Yamaha
might have went through the window.
All these motorcycle companies need to hire us to, like, to consult on these kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, we would
like, there's no way I would have let them confess.
No.
I would have been, I'd have George Costanza at a desk in that place yelling and screaming with my arms.
I would have notified all the owners in there that there was some minor problem, and I would have just fixed it without telling them what the problem was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got something to do with the cooling system. It's a minor fix of the cooling system.
Yeah, and I would have expected if they didn't do a recall,
they do a service bulletin.
Every time one came at, it comes into the dealership, so fix it.
A service bulletin.
Yeah, but they tell them, just fix the ones that are complaining.
Oh.
They didn't want to pay for it. So, in fact, the previous owner of the motorcycle had taken the bike to a Yamaha dealership in response to another recall involving the headlights, and the dealership did not advise him of the availability of the software because he wasn't complaining about having the problems with the throttle.
It's his own fault. He didn't complain.
Yeah.
Ken complains about stuff that doesn't even happen.
I make stuff up.
Ken walks in the dealership and he's like, so the color blue you showed me in the picture, it's like a tenth of a percent off the color that I got. I want money off the car because it's not the color I want.
I go into the shop and I complain about 15 different things that somewhere hidden in there is the actual real problem.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know, I figure it makes it a challenge for them to actually solve it.
Right.
That's a technique.
There's no point in doing their job for that.
Exactly right.
Well, the headlight repair recall went out to 5,300 owners of the FZ09. And all of those throttles could have been fixed when they came in for that headlight repair, but the dealerships and Yamaha stayed quiet. So now they're getting sued. So right now it's a suit against Yamaha by this one guy. I can imagine that some ambulance chaser.
There'll be a class action suit. But this guy's going to clean up because he's first in line.
He's first in line. Yeah. So
he's going to clean up. So He's going to make a ton of money.
The lawyers always make money, especially in class action.
No, the lawyers,
they're the only ones that make money in class action.
They make most of the money, that's for sure.
It's like you get your 13 cents, and they get there.
All right, now I got one quick one before we go out to break, and then we'll have one additional story after that before we go into the racing. BRP, the folks that make the, Ski-Doos.
BRP.
Bombardier Recreational Products.
Bombardier.
That's right. You got that French twist on it.
Yeah, right, Mr. Massey. You're supposed to know how to say
this is
the
guy who was in Paris not too long
ago.
Makers of Ski-Doos and the
Can-Am. They make the Can-Am.
Three-wheel Spider.
Yeah. That's right. I wouldn't brag about that.
Well, they're thinking about getting back into the motorcycle industry, the two wheels.
They're just looking what Polaris did. That's what it's all about.
Yes. Polaris has done a good job
and they're making money.
Yeah. Their president says, we're in the ongoing process of evaluating the market, looking at different possibilities. This is the same company that back in the 70s had the Can-Am motocross bike.
I got an idea. Why don't they buy Motus? They can take it over and actually produce a bike.
Can they, though?
Well, they have. They produce the Spiders.
Well, you got to separate the pocket change from the lint, obviously, but you can still do it.
So, you could actually might be able to see the new Can-Am motorcycles again in the near future.
A two-wheel Can-Am motorcycle, huh?
A two-wheel.
I'm kind of okay with that.
That'd be an improvement. Why don't they just make an articulating front suspension on the the Can-Am Spyder, which would make it 1,000% better.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, let's create a whole new motorcycle, why don't you fix the crap you make?
Well, a lot of people like them.
That's just because the they are. That's because they don't. They've never ridden a bike with an articulated.
Like you just the way you
here's
are.
Here's the thing. Motorcycles. Motorcycle doesn't lean. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. It's not riding a motorcycle.
Is it a motorcycle if it doesn't lean?
I would say no. You know? I mean, they make trikes with articulating rear axles.
All right. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about California
again.
We'll
think about it. We're not necessarily. We might not be back. They'll have to find out.
We might not.
Folks, just like in Colorado, where they legalized marijuana, California.
Warren?
Where are we?
You're no longer allowed to say that word, because it's a word you have trouble with every
word,
time. You
I
do.
Know.
It's the one word. It's the one word you have
problems. I keep thinking he's going to say Kohlrabi's. The vegetable?
All right, guys. You're both number one in my book.
I know. You just need to stay out of that state.
Warren, okay? How about say welcome back to the doghouse on
NTNRadio.com. If you see a story that involves Colorado, skip it.
Send it to Ken and yes, be like, trade you for something in a place I can pronounce.
Yeah. Like Utah. California.
I actually joined a group of Warren's family members on Facebook. And,
oh, no. It's not going to be good.
And
you immediately started inbreeding.
It's called the Appalachian Americans. And they have their complete own language even in typing. It's like, wow. So.
Well, as an aside, you know,
you are an Appalachian American.
Yes,
and you can't say words like Colorado, California.
Well, I can say California.
Dog, cat.
But according, you know, some English professors, set of professors did a study, and the people who speak the Appalachian dialect of English are speaking closer to the same English that Shakespeare spoke. You know, with the same. Hey, it's not my.
Well, Shakespeare was into incest and drinking and stuff
about
like that. Yeah, it makes sense.
The dialect and the way of talking.
Where art thou, Romeo?
Cletus.
That's right.
I
doth love thou.
Cletus.
You know, if I could say some nasty words on
there. Where's our Clyde?
I don't know any Clydes. Moving right along.
And two Brutus.
Oh, geez, guys.
And two Bubba.
All
right.
Go ahead.
You walk right into that one.
Yeah, okay. I know where you guys live now.
Word. Go ahead, Warren.
So California became the first state to legalize lane splitting in the United States after Governor Jerry Moonbeam Brown signed legislation recognizing the right of motorcycles to travel between the lanes on the road and the highway during traffic swirls and congestion.
Yay, population control.
So Ken is very happy about this. He wants to move to California.
You know what? I hope they enforce it and they make sure that people aren't doing stupid stuff. And because there are a lot of stupid people on the roads, and you know, hopefully they'll enforce it and people will be that they'll expect that. You know, I hope the California Highway Patrol cracks down on people that are high speed lane splitting and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, I hope they do. I mean, if it can be made safe, consistently safe, then I'm not opposed to it. But you know, I'll leave it at that. I'll just get myself in more trouble. So
yeah, even it's never stopped you before.
But you know, this whole show is going to get me in trouble. I mean, I've got probably there's probably enough hate mail coming out of this
Ken's
one
been
episode.
Been exercising good judgment. Go ahead, Warren, because we don't have a lot of time.
All right, so the California Highway Patrol has a certain amount of time to come up with the actual guidelines and rules for it. They don't know when that's actually going to come out. Sometime in the near future. But right now, if you live in California, you can lane split. But be aware that the rules aren't set in stone yet, and you need to pay attention to what they are when
means
CHP
if you get pulled over for doing something stupid, like driving on the wrong side of the highway or something, just be like, well, it ain't against the rules. right? Now you have plausible deniability because you're allowed to do it with no rules.
For a little while. They will have the
rules.
That's
like a blessing. Yeah. That's a blessing.
They're not going to hold people to the old guidelines that they had.
Well, remember, they had to take the guidelines down because a single person complained.
So you're saying for right now, it's legal without rules.
Is that what you're saying?
There is laws, but the actual highway patrol rules and regulations haven't been published yet.
Well, okay.
So it's some kind of gray.
Right. So it's a gray area. So it means anything goes. Right? Until they publish the laws, anything goes. Oh, I didn't know that was. And the proper way to say is when they said, did you know that is illegal? The answer is, well, how would I know that?
They haven't told us yet.
There's nothing published.
Nothing's published. Yeah. What do you mean? Here's the question. Well, I thought that was okay to do. Why not? You know, always turn it.
That is sort of what they've had, though, right? Yeah. For the last few years.
I don't think it matters. Decades, let's go to racing.
All right. So, Jerry Moonbeam says it's good to go. Get out there and split the lanes.
You know what? If that's California problem.
All right.
All the leaves are brown. Speaking of brown stuff, it was a little bit muddy there in Indiana for the Ironman for motocross.
Just a little
bit muddy. Little sticky,
If you weren't in first or second position,
you were last.
You were last, and you came in. No one could tell who you were or what you were riding in the first
motor. That's a great reason to be ahead.
Yes.
You don't get get the rooster tails of mud in your face.
They were guys throwing their, after they tore all of their tear-offs or roll-offs, they were throwing their goggles to the side because they just couldn't see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was muddy. Mm-hmm. In the 250s.
We didn't have no stinking tear-offs when I rode.
Yeah, you were men back then.
We just wiped the muddy and you looked through the mud.
You rode through the mud. Scratched the lenses up and everything. Yeah, screw those things. I'll buy new ones.
Right.
So in the 250s, we actually had Webb didn't produce. Webb's
a different kind of character.
Yeah.
You know, he's not, it doesn't surprise me, and I don't want to jump ahead, but the guy that won in the 450s doesn't surprise me. Webb seems like he's the type of character. You know when Webb...
Did you guys watch
when Webb won the championship, did you notice he didn't celebrate at all?
Yeah.
He just pulled right into the trailer, started getting water, didn't care about it. He didn't even seem like he was all that happy about winning it, you know?
Right.
So,
that's hard to build a fan base when you don't act excited when you win a championship.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Because people are like,
I agree, he didn't celebrate at all.
Right, you got to celebrate, you got to party like that's the best thing that ever happened to you. Yeah. You got to party like that.
Fans love that.
Here's the problem. See, he figured, I won the 250s, and he probably went in a trailer expecting a call from us to come on the show. We let him down. I get it. But Faulkner and Plessinger split the wins, which was good to see.
Faulkner's not surprising.
No, Plessinger kind of was.
Yeah, Plessinger's kind of surprising because he's not. He's been competitive, but he's not been.
Faulkner was a bit surprised too because this is his first win.
It's his first win, but he's been very, very competitive.
The last five or six races, he has been very, very competitive.
I was just a matter of time before he won. Plessinger's the guy that
he should have been winning.
He's made some decent showings, but he often gets up front and then drifts back.
Yeah, so that was good to see. Mm-hmm. 450s, no surprise. Roczen won. It was Andrew Short's last race weekend. He retired now. And he did in his last race get the whole shot, but had some bike problems, pulled off early.
That's a shame.
I mean, that's a shame, but he did get the whole shot in his last race, so that's kind of going out in style.
I got the whole shot this weekend. Missed it completely.
But I want to talk about some other news that's coming up. Bobby Fong is going to race at the Lotsenring in the FIM Cup, that shares the card with World Superbike in 2 weeks.
Cool.
So that's a good opportunity. You know, I didn't realize Bobby Fong, the non-Asian, is only 25.
Yeah,
that's an opportunity for him to get seen by people. Alex Lowe's is going to replace Bradley Smith on the Tech 3 Yamaha for Mizano and Silverstone.
Ooh.
Interesting.
And check out Road Racing World. Kenny Roberts is suing Kurt Roberts with a restraining order. Mm. It's a mess. It's all about almonds and crazy nuts and stuff. Road Racing World has a great article about it. Entertaining read. Go to follow it. Might talk a little bit about it next week. This week we got MotoGP at Silverstone, I believe.
That's correct.
And we'll be back next week.